Everybody knows that Jesus taught in parables, but not everybody knows why. Most people think that Jesus taught in parables to make everything clear. He taught in parables to make everyone understand. And that is not true. Jesus did not teach in parables to make everyone understand. Jesus taught in parables to make everyone think, because not every parable is clear. When you hear a parable, it provokes a response in you. That's what Jesus wants. Jesus doesn't want us to listen to him like we're listening to a philosopher, like we're listening to a school teacher. Jesus wants to provoke a response in faith. Now, every parable did that because not every parable was clear. In fact, every parable has something in it that doesn't make sense. Something in it that's askew, something that's off. I like to say every parable has a twist. And it sends you home scratching your head, saying to yourself, now what on earth did that mean? And as you wrestle with the meaning, that's how Jesus provokes a response of faith out of you. Now in this parable that we just heard, parable of the sower and the seed, there are two twists. Two things that don't make any sense. First is the way this sower throws the seed everywhere. Nobody would do that. Let me modernize this to make that point clearer. Picture this. A gardener went to the garden center to buy some seed for his garden. And when he came home, he threw some seed on the driveway, and some seed he threw in the gutter, and some seed he threw on the sidewalk, and some seed he threw in the garden. You hear that and you say, wait a minute, what does that mean? You scratch your head. That's the first twist. Here's the second. It's this business of 30 and 60 and 100-fold. A regular harvest in Jesus' time gave a 7-fold return. 7-fold regular harvest. A bumper crop gave a 10-fold return. So when Jesus speaks of 30, 60, 100, that's, no one would ever even imagine anything like that. That's like a miracle. And send you home scratching your head, and you're wondering, what on earth could that possibly mean? And there's 37 parables in the New Testament. 37. This is one of only two that Jesus himself explains, so it's pretty darn important. And he tells us, he says, well, you know, the seed is the word of God, and the soil is you. And when most priests get up to speak on this parable, they usually say something like, well, you see, there's four kinds of people out there. Some people are like the thorns, and some people are like the path, and some people are like the rocky ground. But don't be one of those kinds of people. Be the good kind. Most homilies go like that. I've never found that helpful. You want to know what's much more helpful? It's not to say to yourself there's four kinds of people out there. Rather, to hear this parable and to say there's four kinds of responses to God's word, and all four of them are in me. Let's take a closer look. First, there's the seed that falls on the path. Have you ever watched the Olympic Games? You ever watch the athletes, you know, and, you know, they run like lightning and they leap like a jackrabbit and you're really impressed. You say to yourself, boy, that's really impressive. But you want to know what? I could never be like that. Well, there's a lot of times people have that exact same response to the word of the Lord and when they hear the stories of the lives of the saints. They're really impressed, but they say, I could never be like that. That's how we're like the seed that falls on the path. You hear, you're impressed, you're inspired, and you change nothing. You hear the stories of the lives of the saints, you say, boy, that's really great, and you change nothing. That's when we're like the seed that falls on the path, and that's happened to all of us. Can I let you in on a little secret here today? A little secret. Saints didn't become saints because they always did great things. Saints became saints because they did the little good that was right in front of them. In fact, that's the spirituality of our very own patroness here, St. Therese. They called it her little way. If you don't know about it, you really, really should. I'll tell you a little story from her life that makes this clear. Once upon a time, little St. Teresa was in her convent in France. She read the newspaper. A story about a man who had committed triple murder and was going to be executed by the guillotine. And the story said that he was not sorry for what he did, didn't want to see a priest, didn't want to go to confession, heart stone cold, clenched fist, steel jaw. Therese read about this man and she thought, God, somebody's got to do something for this guy. Somebody's got to help this guy to, you know, repent, open his heart up to God. I can't do anything, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray for him today. That's what she said. I'm going to pray for him and I'm going to offer my mass for him. Next morning, Therese was reading the newspaper. Story of the man who was executed for murder. Story said that before he died, he reached for a crucifix, kissed Jesus on the cross, begged for God's forgiveness. Therese read the story, put down the paper, and said, I won. I won. Listen, do the little good that is in front of you, and you will not be like the seed that falls on the path. You can also be like the seed that falls on the rocky ground. And this is when we try to hear the word of God, and the moment it becomes difficult, we quit, right? This one's really simple. Realize it's going to be hard. Realize you're going to persevere no matter what. If you fall 1,000 times, you're going to get up 1,000 times, but you are never going to quit. Tell that to yourself. And sometimes we want to quit with regard to helping other people, right? Maybe there's a brother or a sister, maybe there's a child or a friend, they're living a bad life. You wish they'd change and there's nothing you can do and you feel like quitting. Well, don't quit. Can I tell you a couple of stories? Do you know the story of the life of St. Monica? If you don't know the story of the life of St. Monica, you should. Because it's a story of a woman who did not quit in praying for someone in her life. It was her son who was living a bad life. He was sowing his wild oats, living by the seat of his pants. And his poor mother, Monica, she was so worried for him. And she prayed and she prayed. And she prayed for 30 years. Saw no results of her prayer, but she never stopped praying. Well, one day, her son, and he writes this in his book, her son said, he got this inspiration. He heard this voice, and the voice said, take and read, take and read. So I reached for a Bible, he said, and I picked it up, and I opened it up, and my eyes happened to fall on a line from St. Paul's letter to the Romans that said, put away the deeds of darkness and put on the light of Christ. And something hit me, changed my whole life. That boy's name was St. Augustine. Came one of the greatest priests, greatest bishops, greatest Christians of all time. And it was all because his mom would not stop praying for him. I'll tell you another story. It's the story of St. Elizabeth of Hungary. Elizabeth of Hungary was married to a bum. And her kids were sowing their wild oats. And she didn't know what to do. So she prayed and she prayed. And for 30 years, Elizabeth of Hungary prayed that God would touch their hearts. And her husband came to her one day, begged her forgiveness for all of his misbehavior. She forgave him from her heart. He went to confession. He died reconciled to the Lord. She wouldn't quit. When Jesus sows the seed, here in the parable, understand, 3 seeds out of every 4 don't grow. 3 out of 4. That's 25% return on investment, and that's a divine standard. So for goodness sakes, if that's the way it is for Jesus, be easy on yourself, forgive yourself, tell yourself you'll never quit, always be faithful, and you will not be like the seed that falls on rocky ground. And the third kind is a seed that falls among thorns, and here's where we want to pay special attention, because Jesus says the seed that falls on thorns doesn't grow. He says there's 2 reasons. He says the anxieties of life and the lure of riches. Now notice, he doesn't say mortal sins. He doesn't say, well, because, you know, of adultery and because of theft and because of fornication. And not that those things are suddenly okay, don't get me wrong. But you should quake in your boots when you hear that it is enough just to be completely absorbed in your secular activities that you forget who you are. You forget you're a child of God. That you forget where you're headed. It's not, this world isn't your home, that you're headed to your heavenly kingdom. It's enough just to be distracted by the things of the world. Remember that. And we have to pay special attention to that second point. He says, the lure of riches. Because I'll tell you something. Money is funny. It's the only thing Jesus says you cannot love. It doesn't say it's evil, right? But he says you can't love it. He doesn't say that about anything else. Jesus never says you can't love God and your country. He never says you can't love God and, you know, your family. You can't love God and your friend. He never says that. But he does say you can't love God and money. Why? Because they both compete for the same place in your heart, the place of love and trust. And it's either one or the other. And this is why Jesus says, blessed are those who are poor. Now don't misunderstand. There's nothing good about poverty, but they sure do cling to God more easily than those who are rich. It's Jesus' consistent message. And along those lines, a word of warning for all of us. For all of us. You know, sometimes they call Ashburn cash burn. So this one's a word of warning for all of us here. There are some people who will never be poor. Ever. You want to know why? They're too talented. They're too smart, they've got too much education, maybe a touch of good looks. And you know, there may be an hour in life in which they're temporarily without funds. But they'll always find a way to rise to the top because, you know, God blessed them and they'll never be poor. Maybe that's you. If it is, remember this. Poverty is not a lack of money. Poverty is a lack of options. Let me say that again. Poverty is not about not having money. Poverty is a lack of options. The poor suffer what they must because they don't have a choice. And you want to know what? That same reality hits us all. There are moments in your life in which you don't have a choice. I'm talking about illness. I'm talking about the death of a loved one. I'm talking about inconveniences, both great and small, right? Maybe it's a lousy day of traffic. Maybe it's a canceled flight. You'll come into times when you have no choices, no options. When those moments come, offer them to God with faith. And you will not be like the seed that falls among thorns. Now, lastly, there's a seed that falls on good ground. And like I already told you, miracle, 30, 60, 100-fold. And it's a really encouraging message because the message here is that whatever you do for God, no matter how small it seems, is going to have consequences so great you can't even imagine them. I'll give you another story. It's from the life of our very own Saint Therese. Once upon a time, she was in her convent. She said a prayer. She said, "Lord, you know, I wish I could go evangelize the world." Of course, she's a religious sister sitting in her convent. She's not going to go evangelize anybody. She's going to stay right where she is. But do you know that 100 years after her death, the relics of St. Teresa toured the world, 70 countries, more than 100 million people came to pray at the relics of Teresa as they came to their local cathedral or their local church. And it was just what Therese had prayed for, and it was answered beyond anyone's wildest imaginings. Remember that. And be encouraged, because this is the way it is with the Word of God. Small beginnings, steady growth, extraordinary results. It's always that way with God's word. That's why St. Catherine of Siena once said, if you became who God created you to be, you'd set the world on fire. And it's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.